My name is Alan Morse. I'm from Perry, Kansas, and I'm going to be talking to you today and teaching you today about a subject. It's called He Arose. He Arose. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He arose from the dead. You see, if He didn't arise from the dead, if He hadn't arose from the dead, we would still be in our sins, and we would have no hope. But He did. He arose from the dead, proving that He paid the sin debt for us. And now, if we believe that, if we truly believe that, that He died for our sins, that He was buried and rose from the dead, we will go directly to heaven when we die. So it's important to know that He arose from the dead. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. You see, if Jesus did not raise from the dead, we would be in our sins, because if He didn't, because the Father did not accept His death as the final sacrifice for sin. But He did raise from the dead, because Jesus did accept that sacrifice for our sin. He said, now the Old Testament saints also will be freed from paradise to go to heaven. You see, they couldn't go to heaven. We're talking about from Adam all the way up to Jesus. When people died then, and they were believers, they had believed God and they were justified, they didn't go to hell when they died. Their bodies went to the earth, but their spirit and soul went to paradise. And that's not heaven. That's not heaven. But when Jesus died on that cross and paid for their sins, He went down during the time He was in the tomb. His soul and spirit went down to paradise and told these people, now I have paid the sin debt for you. And now He was able to take them to heaven. But now we ourselves, when we die, there's no such thing as paradise anymore. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And if you believe the gospel for your salvation, that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried and rose from the dead, you're going to immediately, your soul and spirit will go directly to heaven. And this is just hard to even comprehend, but it is true. And this gospel was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn into, show you how important it is. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I'll give you time to find it. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter 2. And let's look at verse 16. Romans 2:16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ. That is the great white throne judgment. That's when all the people of unbelievers in this whole world, all the way from Adam to the last person on this earth, people who have turned their back on the gospel, every person will be brought out of their graves or brought out of hell, and they'll be stand before God in a body that is fit for the lake of fire, and they will be judged. All of them are lost. And what are they going to be judged by? They're going to be judged because of their unbelief, not of their sins. God has already paid for their sins. They're not going to be judged for their sins. They're going to be judged by their works. And what was the only work that they had, that they're going to be judged by? And it says right here, Paul's gospel. Did they believe Paul's gospel? And obviously they didn't, or they wouldn't be where they're at. See, there'd be no believers at the great white throne judgment. And God just said, did you believe the gospel? And then He'll show them what it is, that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried and He rose from the dead. And then He'll just open up the book and their name won't be in it. There'll be no name for all those billions of people. There will be, their names will not be in the book of life. So we go to hell because not of our sins. We go to hell because of unbelief. unbelief. So we find that when Christ walked out of that tomb, when he did arise from the dead, he arose from the dead, when he walked out of that tomb, he was totally changed. He had a new resurrection body. He walked out from a new resurrection body, but it's that same body of the Son of God had before he took on a human body that could die. This new resurrection body was in the likeness of Jesus, but it had all the attributes of the Son of God's body. All the attributes of the Son of God's body. Let's turn in our Bibles to John. We're going to go back to the left. Go back through Acts, and then we're going to go to John. It's good to get to know your Bible. We're going to go to John, and we're going to go to chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And then we're going to look at verses 11. John chapter 20, verses 11. Now this is when Jesus rose from the dead. He came out of that tomb. It says, "But Mary stood outside of the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, on one on the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus." It's hard to comprehend. This woman, Mary, had probably been with him a large percentage of the time for these last 3 years that he walked on this earth. She was a great follower of him. And he's only been gone 3 days, and he's looking right at him, and she doesn't recognize him. And she said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabbi," which is master. When she heard his voice, when God opened up her mind, really, and she could see, he realized it was Jesus. But you see, so that's why I say it was a different body. It was in the likeness of Jesus. But it wasn't Jesus. It was the Son of God. Because see, now he had his resurrection body. He had his resurrection body, the same body that he had when he walked with the Lord in heaven and coming back and forth to the people on this earth. Let's look and see what the disciples did. Let's look at chapter 24. Chapter 24 of Luke. We go back to our left. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And we're going to look at chapter 24. Luke 24, verses 35. Luke 24, verses 35. It said, And they told what things were done along the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they stood, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And how did the disciples act? They were terrified, it says. They were terrified, frightened, and supposed that there had been seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thou thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, and I myself handle me, and see that, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had said thus and spoken, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed not, they didn't believe yet not, for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have you anything to eat? You see, the disciples were the same thing as Mary. They just didn't recognize him. And in fact, when they saw him the first, they just all of a sudden were terrified. And you notice how what happened? They were in the upper room, and they had doors locked. They didn't want, they were scared to death that somebody may come and take them away and put them through what Jesus went through, the crucifixion, because they were followers of Jesus. The Jews could do that. But all of a sudden, Jesus just appeared. That's what he did when he walked on this earth for 40 days after he arose. He was with them for a minute or however long, and then all of a sudden he was gone. This is this glorified body that he has. It's just amazing. So why did Mary and the disciples not know him? Because Jesus' new resurrection body was in the likeness of Jesus' body, but it was not his old body. You see, his old body was not fit for heaven, and it had to be changed back to the Son of God body like it was before the world was made. Jesus' resurrection body was the Son of God. The body was in the likeness of Jesus' body. In the likeness of Jesus' body. Let's turn to Matthew. Just turn to Matthew. Go back to the left. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And we're going to look, start in at, let's start in at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came unto the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I am the Son of Man am? And he said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others Jeremiah, and or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but thy Father who is in heaven. You see, God was the Christ. What's the Christ? That's the Messiah. But he was the Son. He was the Son of the living God. And this is who, when he rose from the dead, he was the Son. He was the Son, but he was in the likeness of Christ's body. He was the Son. And now let's look at John chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're looking at 11. And let's start at 25. Jesus said, verse 25, John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he live. Also, whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. Same thing that Peter said, the Messiah, the Son of God, who should come into the world. And of course, we know that that's who took on the body. The Son of God took on the body of flesh. And that body of flesh was named Jesus. But now when he arose now, he was the Son of God in the likeness of Jesus. It says, when our bodies are resurrected, we'll be given a new body like Jesus' resurrection body. So we're going to have a new body, and it's going to be like Jesus' resurrection body, just like what we're talking, the body we're talking about right now. Let's turn to Philippians. Go back to the right. We go through Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We're going to go through Galatians, Ephesians. And then we're going to go to Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. We're going to go look at verse 3. Philippians 3. And we're going to look at verse 20. This is what we're going to have when we get our new resurrection bodies. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies." This is the old body we have now, "that it may be fashioned like His glorious body." Just think about that. Think how wonderful this is going to be. Here we're living in the body we have today, but because we believe the gospel for our salvation, and the second that we die, our soul and spirit will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the resurrection, this new body, we're going to have a new body. Our old bodies will just come out of that earth, but it'll be changed. In a twinkling of an eye, it'll be changed so fast, and it won't be the old body that's in that grave. Let's visit about that. It says, "When the Spirit that is in us, at that day of the resurrection, raises us from the dead, we will be changed and given a new body, fit for heaven." A new body, totally fit for heaven. Just like this body that Jesus rose with. See, his earthly body wasn't fit for heaven. That's why it rose in a resurrection body, and it rose in likeness of Christ, and we're going to rise in our likeness of ourselves. However, it's going to be totally, totally new. And it says that the Spirit that is in us, at the day of our resurrection, raise us from the dead, we will be changed and given a new body fit for heaven. We will be in the likeness of our old body, but not the same. Think about it. You see, excuse me, I'm 70 years old. I wear glasses. I have hearing aids. I have false teeth. I have white hair. And I have plenty of wrinkles. And I have a bad back, bad hips, and a colostomy as a result of colon cancer. Now, I am sure hope that when I get my new body, it'll be like Jesus' resurrection body. I'm sure not going to feel bad about leaving this old body behind, and for my new body that will be fashioned like His glorious body. Think how wonderful this is. And the thing about it is, you see, the reason why that God had to take on a human body to be able to deal with us was because His regular body would never die. And this body now that Jesus has will never die. And this body that we will have, our resurrection body, will never die. We never have to go through death again. And we will live forever. I mean, forever. Persons, well, how long is that? I said, as long as God lives. And God will never die. And we won't either. How wonderful. How wonderful this is going to be. It's just beyond our imagination. What God has in store for us, for those who believe the gospel. That's salvation for this dispensation that we live in. You see, salvation for the Jews was totally different. We saw that if they believed in Jesus, they were saved. But you see, they totally rejected Jesus. The Jewish people totally rejected. And so God came up with a whole new plan. And it's called the body of Christ. And that's what we are members of when we believe the gospel. See, the emphasis is now not on believing in Jesus. The emphasis now is believing what He did. Because, see, if He hadn't died on that cross, we'd still be in our sins. And so Jesus Christ Himself told us to put our emphasis, our salvation, our belief for salvation, and not who He was, but what He did. And He died for our sins. And that He was buried and He rose from the dead. And when we believe that, that's how we're saved. So when Jesus rose from the dead and the Son of God regained his body, he walked on this earth for 40 days. Now, there was a lot of things that happened during that 40 days. He was seen by over 500 people. He was seen by all of the disciples and all the people that followed him, and he walked with them. And I'm sure that it was 40 days was just beyond your imagination. But, you know, he actually didn't walk. He just appeared, and then he was gone, proving he was God, proving he was God. Even, I think he was showed them how good a fisherman he was. You remember when they were fishing, and they looked up, and they saw Jesus standing on the side of the lake there, and he was cooking. And he hollered out to them and says, "Have you caught anything?" And they said, they hadn't had one bite. They hadn't had caught one fish with their nets. And he said, "No, we haven't." He said, "Well, just take your nets off and put it on the other side of the boat." And they did what Jesus told them to do. And what happened? What happened? They raised up. A net was totally full, 153 fish. I mean, he had it down to the one fish. 153 fish, and the nets didn't break. And they brought them all in. So he was when he walked on this earth, proved that he was a great fisherman. Now, I like that because I love to fish. I can't wait to have an opportunity to fish with the Lord. I'm sure we'll be successful. We'll be successful. But anyway, he walked with them, and he taught them, and it was just, I can't imagine. Then they saw him rise to go back to heaven, and how wonderful that was. Now, the fact that Christ rose from the dead, and we know that our sins have been forgiven, totally. I mean, totally. He's paid for every sin that I've ever committed, from the day that I was born and until the day that I die. And his death on the cross has paid for them. There is no sin in my life as far as God is concerned. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. Not because of anything that I did. It's because what he did on that cross, and because I believe that he died for me on that cross, is what gave me salvation. And that's why I preached the gospel, because this is what Jesus wanted to be preached. And Paul, that's all he did, was preach the gospel. He didn't preach anything else but the gospel. And all the 25 years that he walked on this earth, he preached only the gospel. And he went through all kinds of horrible things. That the Jews just were just relentless in persecuting Paul. But God picked him up, and he kept on preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Now, the fact that Christ rose from the dead, and we know that our sins have been forgiven, now how do we appropriate this salvation for ourselves? We've just got a couple minutes. Let's look back to the most important verse in the Bible. 1 Corinthians, we'll go back to the left, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If nothing else, folks, you never forget this verse, because this is salvation. This is what you base your whole life on. And when you do that, it's just, you'll have eternal life. It starts off with, he's writing these letters to the Corinthian churches. And these churches have already been grounded in the gospel. Paul always says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Believe what? The gospel. And this is the gospel. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Not a gospel. This is the gospel. It's the only way for salvation. And he says, "I preach unto you, which also you have received, in which you stand." These folks believed the gospel. They stood on the gospel. And this is what they told me. It was a heart thing. They believed it. And he said, because of that, he said, "by which ye also are saved." Isn't that what we're looking for? Salvation. And this is salvation for the body of Christ today. If you believe the gospel, you will be saved. It says, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Unless you believed in vain. He said, He said, for I have, what he means by that, this is not a head knowledge, this is a heart knowledge, a total heart knowledge. I had a head knowledge all my life, and I believed that Jesus was my Savior, and that thought that was my salvation. But you notice here, this has nothing to do with believing that Jesus is your Savior. Here, let's just look what it says. He says, I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received. He received this directly from the Lord Jesus Christ in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. He said that, and Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel. Christ died for your sins, and that He was buried, and He rose again. You believe that, truly believe that in your heart, you're saved, and you're saved totally. When you die, your spirit and your soul and spirit will go directly to heaven. Now let's turn to Ephesians, back to the right. This was the first most important verse, and this Ephesians chapter 1:13 is the second most important verse in the Bible. This is tremendously important. And it fills your salvation. This is totally proof that you're saved. Start at verse 12. He said that we should be to the praise of His glory who trusted in Christ and whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth. What is it? The gospel of your salvation. In whom after you believed what? The gospel of your salvation. He said you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have the Holy Spirit is sealed into you until the day of your redemption. That means that the day that God takes you home, you're sealed. You're perfectly saved. You never can be unsaved because the Holy Spirit now is sealed in you and you will be saved. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach this word to each and every person out there. And I just pray that you'd open up their minds, that they would hear this gospel and they would receive it, and they too would be believers, and they would have eternal life. Amen.